Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time, the hour that you have given, O Lord, to use your word that you have given, O Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that, O Lord, Father, that this word that you have given, I am not worthy to use your word, because you are a holy, holy God. I cannot be compared with you, but I thank you because of your Son Jesus Christ, whom you have adopted, through whom you have adopted us, O Lord Father. Lord and my Father, forgive me if there had been anything that was contrary to you, Lord. Father, forgive me before I deliver this word. Let the word go, and Father, work in each and everyone's heart, O Lord. Father, I submit myself unto you. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. We are looking at the same topic that we were looking at, into the image of His Son, that is adoption as sons. This is a part two. We are all called to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is God's plan. If we are not conformed to His image of His Son, we are not in the will of God. That is what the Word of God says. So, as a preface, God has only one Son, and He is the only righteous one. He is God Himself. He is God Himself, and He is the Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah prophesied, we know that 700 years before, that a child shall be born. That was much before Jesus was born. So we know. In Galatians, Paul writes, "My little children, for whom I am labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." So that is that particular verse, that whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Christ, to be conformed to His Son, it is Paul says, I labor in birth again. Again, when you read Romans chapter 8, 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, again, we understand the importance for Paul praying, and now here we see that Paul again saying that to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's very, very important. The key verses for the meditation was from Galatians 4, 5, and 6. There we have looked into verse 4. Now I will read 4 also. But when the fullness of time had come, God had sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. We have looked into this in the last message, how He was born of woman and under law. Then, fifth verse, to redeem those who are under law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is the verse that we are going to look into today. Redeem those who are under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So the next session we will have the sixth and seventh verse together. So preamble which we have discussed earlier, that was again it was to confirm to the image of His Son. For that reason, he was born of woman. He opted to come in the form of man, being God. We saw that 3-4 points there. One reason was, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, because we were in flesh and blood, He also came likewise to take part in the same. So that is one of the reasons. The other reason we looked was that no one can redeem a sinner because he himself is a sinner and he cannot redeem others. So then the next one we looked was, the other point that we discussed was, all the sins committed by man are against God. So only God can forgive our sins. All sins committed by man are against God. So again, the fourth one that we looked into was, no one can give a ransom to God because God's plan of redemption is, and the demand of God, the demand of God's holiness was very, very high according to our standards. So there we see that, and he wanted to bring us back to the image of his image of his son. So no one can give a ransom. No one can give a ransom because to bring back to that position that Adam was, who can change a person? No one except God. So we saw that 3-4 points there. And so it was to restore the lost glory. So then again, we see that Jesus was born under the law. Again, we saw that the law was given to know the right and wrong as per God's perspective. Then the second reason was to know the holiness of God. So this was the reason why He was born under the law. Now, God's perspective of right and wrong was very high standard, and man cannot attain. It is very difficult. So man took the law. At the same time, God cannot reduce his holiness. So man took the law as per his convenience to fulfill the righteousness of God. And he declared himself, by doing certain works, he declared himself that he is righteous. And where he says, after that, he says that God has declared him righteous because of his deeds. This was the minimal standards that he was observing. So it was essential that Jesus had to come under the law. Now, for our meditation for today, we will be reading another key verse. Actually, from that main key verse, this is a sub key verse, that is Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's a very authoritative verse that we read that. We see two platforms there, who set their mind on things of the flesh and things of the Spirit. So things of the flesh and things of the Spirit, there are two platforms. Platforms in the sense, the one who has set their mind, set their mind in one platform. They cannot change to the other platform. That is, in one of the platforms, you have to be kindly listen. Please do not talk in the middle. Please listen. Yeah, you are here? All right. Okay. So there are two platforms. Our mind is either on one of the platforms. Either you will be in one of the platforms. You will be doing the spiritual things, or you will be doing as per the flesh. So first we will look at the platform that we cannot please God by our own choices. That we cannot please God. That this is the first platform that is mentioned in Romans chapter 8. This platform says that we are under siege or we are under bondage. We are under bondage. So, Bible talks about the sin and the consequences of sin. That means you are under bondage. You are under bondage. We are in such a bondage that we cannot think or do anything good. This is one of the platform. The platform that we cannot do anything good. Now, that was because we know that that was because Adam sinned, and when God cursed the earth, everything that was from the earth was cursed. Everything that was, God cursed the earth, not Adam. So everything that was coming out of the earth, everything, we read that thorn, thistles, everything. So so there cannot be a neutral, Bible says that there cannot be a neutral indent behind your choices. That means you cannot say that I did not have any intention. Any of your choice is based on an intention. You have an intention in your heart. That is the basis of your choice. This is what Bible says. Suppose you think that there is no intention. If someone says that I am just living, I don't know for what. You know, you go to a junction and you ask someone which way I should take. And immediately that person's question will be, you are going to where? And immediately your answer will be, if you don't have an intention, I don't know. I don't know. So when you give such an answer, you have many choices. You could go left or right, straight, back, or you can stand. There you have five or six choices. But but we have certain people living amidst us who says that they don't have an intention. I don't know whether you can name it. But suppose he says that I don't know where I'm going. Then it is appropriate answer would be, there is no problem, you can take any way. Any way is your choice. Or you can be there. This is the this is the statement of all the atheists. The atheists say that they have come here for no good reason. No good reason they have come here. That means they don't have, they say that I am doing according to my body's will, a random choice they call. So if they are living according to that, still according to Bible, they are as per the flesh. They are even as per the flesh. So they say that They don't have an intention for each and every decision. Now, Bible says that Bible defines this particular aspect in Genesis chapter 6, 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. How great it was? Was great. God said that man's wickedness was great. Great means that great should say how. And later in that verse, he says that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, please note the word intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. It did not stop there. Only evil continually. That means anything that is produced by man, I am not talking about the thoughts. The reasons behind the thoughts, the intents, the reasons behind, that itself is evil. I don't know whether you are getting it. Did you understand what I meant? Yes? So the intent of our thoughts. Have you ever thought that God said like this? The intent of your thought, of your heart, is only evil and continually. Continually means every time. This is the platform. Now, Jesus also said, Jesus said in John chapter 3, 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So there is, you know, whatever it brings out, there is no way of changing the result. Our existence actually is in the flesh. It means that our body is a manufacturing plant. Of what? Manufacturing plant of what? Of sin. We saw that we are producing sins alone. So this assures that a living spiritual man shall have trials and temptations. Because totally your heart is for what? For committing sin continually. So if you want to do good, you will have trials and temptations. That is what Bible says. You will have trials and temptations. If there is no trials and temptations, your faith is wrong. You will have trials and temptations. So that is called the depravity or the moral corruption. Now, God wanted to, in Psalms, when you read, God wanted to see what is this corruption. In Psalms 14, when you look at it, Psalms 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand or who seek God. God looked from heaven, whether there is anyone who is, just see that verse. By David, King David, he says, "Whether who seek God," and the third verse says, "They have all turned aside, and they have together become corrupt. Together become corrupt, and there is none who does good. No, not one." Oh, what a specific way he mentions. Not even one. No, not even one. And Paul has taken it and mentioned in Romans chapter 3. So this is what we read in Romans chapter 8:5. This platform, we are talking about this platform, that those who have those according to the flesh, they have set their minds. This is the platform. Which is the platform? That there is no one. God says there is no one. And this, everyone has got one similar platform. And that platform is the flesh. The flesh, the sinful flesh. So we do not make our choices. So then the above is a truth based on the approval of our choices. You know, we always, the problem is that we don't know what is good. The problem is that we cannot do what is good. That is a problem. Because your body says, your body goes, your flesh goes, for that is sinful. You know by your conscience, you know that it is wrong. But by default, you say by default. When you opt for a language in the computer, by default, you say the default platform is the sin. Now, but every action of yours need approval. You give approval. Only without approval, you don't have your choices. The above truth is based on that choice. God says there is no one who, I have given him an opportunity to do good, but there is no one. You understand that God is not saying that I did not give the opportunity, God said that I have given the opportunity, but there is no one. That is understanding of that. So we make our choices always by mind approving. So that is why we say that we are according to the flesh. We set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, there is an inclination when we make the choice, and this is the will. This cannot be separated from the mind, because this will of your body always rules the mind. Always rules the mind for the fleshly things. So we will now look into how our choices are under bondage. Now, man's ways. Now, the law was given by God to the man, and what he did was he chose ways and means to be righteous as per law. Now, law was given to the same man who could not do any good. So he found out ways to abide with the law by enjoying the pleasures of sin. That means he was trying to keep his fleshly intents when he chose to rectify or to abide by the law. He used those kind of things by keeping that intention of the mind to sin. And he made ways to be righteous before men. He invented his own law. When Jesus came, this was the problem. When Jesus came, he saw the law was totally invented by man according to his wishes and pleasures. So this was the problem that for this reason, Jesus had to come under the law. He had to come under the law. So we see that in Luke 16:15, we see that Jesus says, "You are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts." See, here it says that you have made the law to justify men, not God. So here Jesus says that. Then after that he goes and says, "What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Is an abomination in the sight of God. So whatever we think that it is good, and we do some righteous things, there is an intention to sin in that. Even if we are providing, say for example, some help to somebody, in that also we have our own self has got an intention to sin. So we think that it is a good aspect. But before God, Jesus says it's an abomination, because you are trying to get the respect. So in Luke 10:26, again, Jesus says, this is to a legalistic person, he was asking God, "What should I do?" And then Jesus says, "What does the law of Moses say?" He asked the first question, "What does the law of Moses say?" Then, "How do you read it?" The second question is more important, because how do you read it? This is important. This is how we change the real content of the word to our conveniences. He says, "How do you see that word? How do you read it?" That is what. What is the law? And then he says, "How do you read it?" So, for example, in the next verse, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." This is statement he said, the legalistic person said. And Jesus said, "It's right. But how much do you love God when you say that I do like this?" See, for example, you are under, you are under a temptation from the devil. If you need that contract, you have to pay under the table. What do you do? One of my friend brother told me, I go into the toilet and I pray, Lord, please forgive me. Please close your eyes so that you, for this time alone. You understand? That is the way that we understand. That brother knows that it's a sin. But for the other person, for the legalistic person, he doesn't know, because he is doing it in the night. He's doing it in the night. And in the daytime, he's fine. So that is how we see, how do you read the law? How do you understand the law? That is important. The interpretation of the law. Actually, the interpretation of the law was totally corrupt. By interpreting the law allowed a self-righteous man to hide the sinful nature, that is the intention of his heart. By interpreting the law, what did happen? The law allowed the self-righteous person to hide his sinful nature, that is the intention of his heart, under the law. You understand? That is like someone coming inside and the whole house is dirty. Haven't you seen mothers going and putting a cloth all over and then come. And when you come inside, you will see only the bed sheet. It was all dirty. If you take it out, it's all full dirty there. So this is how they do it. The interpretation of the law, the outward appearance of the law, that he was righteous, but not before God. So that was the interpretation of law. Now, here, God considers the self-righteous person, the selfishness, the self-righteousness, as the biggest sin. As the biggest sin. We have seen before also, we know that that is the biggest sin that God hates, and that was the first sin that was committed by Adam and Eve. That he went out of, then he disobeyed. First he went out of God's plan. He said, you are not Lord, now I am Lord. And then he disobeyed. That is what made him disobey. So, here we see that it is the greatest sin against God. That was the reason that Jesus had come under law to judge the sin. So it was very much required that Jesus had to come under the law to judge the sin, the self-righteous man, the self-righteous character of man. So he openly declared the righteous, he judged by his death. He judged that self-righteousness on the cross by his death. I very well think that at that time, the cross was the way that they killed the criminals. Now, I very well think that time it happened, it was for Jesus to come, because he was nailed, he was beaten up, he was everything they did unto them. Whatever they could, they nailed him. Still they pierced him. So I very well think that it happened during that time because of that reason. So here God is the enemy. It is not anyone. It is not the devil. Our enemy is God, because we are self-righteous. We declare we are righteous, not God. You understood? Are you all with in the same page? Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, thank you. Okay, so he paid a price. He had to pay a price. They killed him, and the maximum torture was inflicted on his body. The torture was so severe was so severe, the reason for the torture that was so severe was the self-righteousness of man. Because God has given the free will. And when the free will was given, the self-righteousness of man is hiding behind the law and saying that I am righteous by doing certain things that is mentioned in the law. So for him to come back to God, it was very difficult. It was not possible at all. For a sinner to come back is better easy. You will see that. But for a legalistic person, a self-righteous person who hides his sin under the carpet is a very difficult person to be dealt by God. That is why he had to be brought under law and he was to be tortured on his body and hands and leg and on his chest. So he had to undergo, because of only one reason, that the self-righteousness of man was so much. That is the reason that the sinner, the Gentile person, who was Pilate, was a Gentile person, he wanted to release Jesus, but the Pharisees did not. We see that in John chapter 19, 6 and 7. The chief priests and the officers saw him, and they cried out, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, you take him and crucify. I find no fault with him. See, he was not a spiritual person, but he did not find any fault with him. But who found the fault with him? The person that who found was a self-righteous person. So God sent under law to bring out, to crucify the self-righteousness, which was very much in each and every one of us. So that was the reason. So see the seventh verse, John 19:7. The Jews answered, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die." See, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. So you see that the law was brought to the support. The law was brought to support what? The law was brought to support their righteousness, because they made the law in such a manner that the law could be conveniently used. Now, when we see that Jesus preaching there, the hatred of those people went high towards him, and we saw that in Calvary, the judgment of man. This was the time that the righteousness of man was exposed. It was exposed naked before the whole world, naked that everyone should see that this is the sin that God is fighting against. Now, we see when in the Calvary, we see that Moses, all the prophets through Psalms, all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Habakkuk, Hosea, Zechariah, all prophesied Christ. And that came into being in Calvary. All the prophets, you see, in all the places, it is declared that a Messiah would come. It could be mentioned in different ways, but it is mentioned, and that comes into reality in the cross where Jesus gave his life. So So then we see we have a key verse there, that is Romans chapter 8, 8:3. Before that, the price was the life. They killed Jesus with maximum torture and inflicted on his body. Because then we see that it was for Pilate. We see that Pilate saw no sin in Christ, but that self-righteous people, they said, we have a law. And those people hated, and they loved more than Jesus, the murderer Barabbas. See the hatred of the self-righteous people. Pilate said, I will crucify this person, Barabbas, and let this person go. But they all cried, we want Barabbas. This is the self. I want to expose the self-righteousness of a person. How it is mentioned in the Bible. How it is mentioned. How it is an enemy. How it is an enemy to God. And how we are being used as the tools that the devil can use. Let us read how now we need a change. This is the platform that we see. The platform that is totally of flesh. That anything that you talk, speak, think, everything is flesh. Now we are looking into the transformation into the spirit platform. That means how we are going to be a spiritual person. Romans chapter 8, 3 and 4. Romans chapter 8, 3 and 4. For what law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh. You understood. Now I was explaining the same for the last 20-25 minutes, that what law could not do. Law could not do because it was made at the convenience of us. So that was what the law could not do. What the law could not do? Law could not stop man from sinning. But for that reason, God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. We are going to look into each and everything. Now, we saw what law could not do, because law was interpreted, and law was not able to pay a price, because it was all written laws. The law could not pay a price. Who all are listening, just say hallelujah. Thank you. All right. Are you blessed?
Yes.
If you really look into the next 10 minutes, you will be really blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So there it says, the law was not able to redeem the sinners. Next is, God sent his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. Why? God had to come in the sinful flesh, which had all temptations of the flesh. And the sin of man, which was the righteousness of man, had to be judged in this sinful flesh. So that was the reason why God sent his own son in the likeness of sin, in the likeness of flesh. That means he had to come in the same sinful flesh where we are in, which had all temptations of flesh. All the temptations of flesh was very much there. And had to be judged. The sin had to be judged in the sinful flesh. What was the sin that was exposed. We read there that God sending his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh on account of sin. So what was that sin? What was that sin? The sin was the righteousness of man, which was enmity to God's righteousness. God's righteousness of man was hidden under law that we mentioned. Now, Jesus pointed out the intention of human mind that it was evil. The self-righteous people, they could not tolerate. Jesus pointed out that the intention of the human mind was evil. When he said that your prayers are not heard. He said to whom? To the Pharisees, your prayers are not heard. Then again he said, he said, you give tithes, but that is not from your heart. So that is not accepted by God. Then again, he mentioned about fasting. Then again, he mentioned about giving alms. Everything, there was a way that man did. And there was a way that God wanted to do. Now, when he said, this is the way that God wanted to do, he was pointing out the evil character that was hidden in the Pharisee's heart, in man's righteousness. So so they considered him more sinful than the murderer. They considered him more sinful. Now, how did Jesus condemn sin in the flesh? The simple answer is submitted to the will of God. The very simple answer. But we see that he was in the previous verse that we saw that the chief priests and the officers cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And then after that, we saw that that they said that there was a law for them, and because he made himself to be the Son of God, he should be killed. It's a blasphemy, he said. That is the reason that we see that the judgment happened. In Calvary, the judgment of sin of man took place. And then how did it happen? This was prophesied. This was prophesied before. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. See that wording. We all know this verse. Therefore, when the chief priest and... this is different. Oh, Isaiah 53:10, sister. So there, yet it pleased to the Lord to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. That seed there, you see, he shall see his seed. This was God's plan. God's plan, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Whom? The Messiah. And make his soul an offering for sin. His soul is offered for sin. And he shall see his seed. Which is the seed? Which is the seed? Can you see? Can you see? The seed is the new generated spiritual person. The new generated. This is what we read before in Romans chapter 8 in 5. We saw that those who have set their minds in spiritual things. those who have set their minds in the spiritual things. You understood? So this seed is prophesied in Isaiah. It came into being when Jesus was crucified. He was tortured to that level only because of self-righteousness, not because of sin alone. The sin was self-righteousness, not all the sins. All the sin, we see that Pilate was a sinner, but he did not want to crucify him like this. But this self-righteousness in us wanted not to leave this person and loved more than the murderer, more than Christ, they loved the murderer. So this is what here we see, that he was offered as a sin, and he shall see his seed. The seed is the newly generated being, the newborn man, the spiritual man, who's having only the intention to do good. To do good according to God. To do good according to God. You understood? Now you saw the transition from the same old person. That is the reason I always say that when I meet, nowadays I always see that when I look at our brothers here, we shouldn't take them as enemies, because tomorrow they are the people who are going to stand for Christ. And maybe at that point of time, they might be giving themselves for Christ. So we cannot, because Christ, believing in Christ, becoming a new person, is open to everyone. So because everyone is in sin. Now, after that, in the 53rd chapter, 10th verse, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The pleasure of the Lord. What was the pleasure of the Lord? What was the pleasure of the Lord? I want you to think. Don't hear alone. It's given there. It was pleased that the Lord to bruise him. Whom? That was his pleasure. He has put him to grief and made his soul an offering for sin. Why? It was not his pleasure. His pleasure, he says that he pleased. Why? Because he hated sin more than that. He hated sin more than that. So that is why he says that he put him into grief. And then he made his soul as an offering for the sin. So then, in the 53rd verse, 53rd chapter, 11th verse, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify one. Many. Not one. When I say one, you can take it for you, but many means that is what happened. So, that the servant shall justify many. You are also there. For he shall bear your iniquities. I'll read it once again. But my righteous servant shall justify many. You are also included. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those who said amen. And he shall bear their iniquities. Now, Romans chapter 8, 4 says that this seed shall fulfill. That the righteous requirement of the law. This seed. Which seed? This seed that is made in the new generation. He will satisfy. That means you will satisfy. You say, I will satisfy. The righteous requirements of the law. Okay, thank you. In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now the second platform, when you are in the second platform, you will do the righteousness of God. You shall fulfill the righteous requirement of Lord, of God. Now, how he is going to do is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14. The love of Christ compels us. When you see this love, what is this love? This love was that he gave himself. More than he loved himself, he hated sin and he loved you. Because of that, we read there, the love of Christ compels us. What? We thus judge that one died for all, we are all died. That means if Jesus has died for me, I am dead with him, because your love towards God compels you. Your love towards Christ compels you to say that I am dead. Those who understood, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so you see that the love of Christ, they understood the love of Christ, that he gave first priority to you and he died for, so that is the, and then the 15th verse, and he died for all, those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And that is the thing that he says. Now you should not live not for you, but you should live for the one who died for you and rose again. And the 17th verse, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is how God brings you into that new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the second platform that will please God by your choices. This is the platform that you will praise God, please God by your choices. And Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are called whom? The sons of God. The sons of God. So let us all stand up. Let us all stand up. What God has done for us. If you, we'll just sing this song. In Christ alone,
my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, you're in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, his gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. And on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, you're in the death of Christ I lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, cause there's Lord in looked on me, for I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Christ alone. That's why we're alive. In Christ alone has made us a new person. Just pray wherever you are and say, Lord, as I've heard this message, pray that it will take root in us, that we'll truly become the image of Christ, that our hearts will be turned towards Him, to be better men, to have died with Him in His death. We have shared the death of Christ, and we have risen as a new man. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, Lord, we say thank you for today. We thank you for your word that we have heard from your Son. Father, Lord, we ask that you will bless him. Where he has taken from, Father, Lord, I pray that you will replenish him. Continue to give him insight. Continue to give him wisdom. Continue to bless his family and bless the works of his hand. Father, Lord, and I lift up everybody that has watched us today, Father, Lord. The way we came is not the way we're going, Father, Lord. Lord, we're leaving here with your presence. That you abide with us this week. You'll go with us. And Father, Lord, you will show your hands in our lives, Father, Lord. That even the program on Monday, Father, Lord, that your name will be glorified. Your assembly will be full, Father, Lord. Your children will be blessed. I also pray for anybody that has any difficulty this week. Visa, jobs, any issue with the authorities, Father, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that you make a way this week. That next time we come, Father, Lord, we'll come with your testimonies. Take the glory, Father, Lord. Take the adoration. We ask that your presence just goes with us. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. As always, please, let's not wait on the veranda. Let's sit, let's fellowship by the tent so the next church can come in. Let's share the grace and fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you as you leave.